Welcome back to another episode of Bite Size Weekly here with Bits and Caffeine. You got Skylar, you got
Alex.
I can really feel the hype on that one. All right. Yeah. Welcome
back. It's been a long day.
It has. Welcome back to another episode of Bits and Caffeine. And we're with Bite Size Weekly. Today we're going to be talking about news. Just kidding. Because we slowly realized that the news does not come out fast enough.
It truly doesn't.
I can think of a couple things to talk about news-wise, but I think more importantly what we kind of want to do in this topic is we have about 30 minutes on our timesheet here to just discuss about what we want. And then what we want are topics. So if you want to see any topics at all, we don't have a Discord for that situation. But I don't even know where they can put topics now that I just thought about it.
Well, you can reply to our YouTube or...
Go to our YouTube and comment on our podcast episode down below. Spotify, I think on Spotify we have some kind of little like, how did you like the episode pop up? Write something in there if you use Spotify, because I actually want to see how that looks. It'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in this week's topic, we're going to be discussing indie games. Our main topic of interest is going to be how indie games are absolutely destroying in the market right now compared to AAA titles.
Yeah,
a good example of that is when Lethal Company came out against the Call of Duty. Lethal Company destroyed Call of Duty. I'm not sure what the payment was between Call of Duty and Lethal Company, but I know Lethal Company was hitting the higher player base than Call of Duty ever was, which is really weird at the time. Why is that? We're going to be going over that today, talking about some more topics in relation with that. The big indie titles that came out recently are obviously Lethal Company, some other smaller game titles, and then also Pow World was another one that came out. And then, of course, we have another one, which we won't go over, because that's our special ep game for this week. Woo! It starts with an H, ends with an S, or a 2, depending on...
Yeah, 2. Yeah.
That's whatever. That's But anyways, let's get started here. So, I guess the first thing we're going to start kind of go over was, when did this switch happen between everyone going for AAA titles and people deciding the indie titles are more of the way to go? Where do you think that lies?
I mean, it probably did happen before, but for me particularly, when I like noticed it myself, I'd say it was probably Lethal Company. Although I definitely think that there were some signs of that before.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely felt like in the long run, I can't really give a specific time frame. I think it was Activision who decided to kind of push their AAA titles up to about $70 instead of the normal $60, which in and of itself was big, because usually most AAA titles and most games in general were going for $60. But now, with Activision trying to push the $70 boundary, a lot of higher titles are doing that. And in turn, I feel like a lot of gamers, cool, radical gamers, aren't getting what they're paying for. Yeah. And before you say it, at the CEO of Rockstar, no, do not base your game price on how much your player plays it. That'll kill your game.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, hey guys, we're making a cool new game, listen, and we really want for you guys to play it. Welcome to GTA 6. Or actually, hold on, that's copyright. Let's go with something else. Welcome to GTA 5-6, all right?
Okay.
Cool new game coming out, all right? Everyone's going to play it. I don't know how many hours you have in GTA 5. I have a couple. I have a few. But, people play it for a certain amount of time. Okay, I have a few. I have 220 hours in it.
I have a little bit more than a few. Wait, let me pull it up.
But yeah, let's say that for every month you have to pay $3 an hour. Imagine that kind of game system. That's kind of how I feel. Yeah, that's what I feel like most studios are kind of getting to at this point, is trying to push for a more monetary value, trying to push that in. Big example of that is Battle Passes. Oh my god, Battle Passes suck, because it's just, You either have to pay for it, or you can get the free money that comes from it throughout when you're leveling up, but you won't get enough money to do anything. You'll just get just enough to make it so you spend a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just a waste of time and money in that point. But yeah, I definitely think the $70 hike was one of the bigger kind of pushes to people looking at indie titles. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely think that has something to do with it, which that was probably inevitable. That was always going to happen to some degree with inflation and just, like, you know, the price of everything is going up. But with that also happening, so is, you know, budgets are tighter because of the price of inflation on everything. Milk and eggs cost more now. So I think a lot of people that are playing games casually, when they're looking for new games, they really, it's more now so than ever that they're looking for the cheaper games. So like the Lethal Companies, the Helldivers, because they can play Helldivers for 100, 200 hours, and maybe even more so than they play Call of Duty when they bought it. So yeah, I think they're definitely looking for, they're looking for the cheaper games. And I think that kind of caused the turn of indie games beating out the AAA games. And they're also, they're looking for, you know, pay for one game and keep playing it, as opposed to pay for a game that was $70 and then keep having this stuff pushed at you that you're like, oh, I want to buy that, and that's $20. I want to buy that too, that's $20. And before you know it, you spent a couple hundred dollars on the same game. And, you know, and you might have actually played an indie game that cost $10. You might have played that more. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you can think about a great example, like a perfect example of mainstream games going into the absolute shitter is Call of Duty. No offense to Alex over there who plays Call of Duty a lot.
Yeah.
I play a little bit with Warzone, but in all honesty, Call of Duty is a great example of that. So you're technically just paying $70 for the same UI.
Yeah, it's basically
that home screen UI sucks. So much. I hate it. But at the same time, it's the same game. It's just DLC. You're paying $70 for DLC. And
yeah,
in all honesty, I think I can say this because I've played Call of Duty. I liked Call of Duty when I was younger. I feel like I can say this.
Okay.
Kill me if I can't. But okay. I think that Call of Duty is extremely boring now. It's just same game over and over again. I love Search and Destroy. That's one of my favorite topics to go through. But I get the same amount of fun that I get in Call of Duty if I'm playing another like ripoff of it. Combat Masters is a great example of that.
I'm glad I brought that one up.
yeah. You want to know how glad you are you brought that up? You want to know guess how many hours I have in Combat Masters?
Oh my god, we started playing like 1 week ago. How many do you have?
Only 9 hours.
Okay, but still, that's a lot of hours.
It's really fun. Yeah. I know all of it's bots, so it's just more fun. Yeah. But we found out that there's people that play on mobile, so they have a little mobile icon next to their name, and you can just tell that they're really bad. It's just funny. But yeah, I mean, I have more fun. I mean, it really, in all honesty, I think a great example of this and kind of a leeway into the next idea I had when it comes to indie developers and like why they've grown is I have a lot of fun playing Call of Duty but just not with myself. I like to have fun with people. Combat Masters was a joy to play because that had a bunch of people in it. And a great example of that is some of the newer releases, Lethal Company, Pal World, Secret Game, even though you've already said the game. They're all just easy. You can play by yourself if you want, but up to a certain amount of players, and it's just fun. It's kind of like a party game. It's nice, easy to get the hang of. I don't know about easy to get the hang of for Pal World, but that's just besides the point, because Pal World's kind of like Ark Survival Evolved, so it's a little confusing at times. But you get the point.
Yeah.
It's these games. Here, go on.
Yeah. No, these games just like you pay this singular price and they draw you in and they don't keep throwing this like stuff in you for like to pay for more. And I think that's one thing that's like kept it around. Because you can drop into a Helldivers map or a Lethal Company map and have an entirely different experience than you had 15 minutes ago. And that's one thing that just adds to the replayability, I think, of these games. And it's definitely making these games have a higher player base, and more people are buying it because everyone's more enjoying these games more so than the games that are constantly pushing at you to buy new things and constantly doing that.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, a great example is that secret game that nobody knows about. you don't even need to buy currency for. You can find currency around the world. Or like a Lethal Company, you don't even need currency. They have an open mod situation, so it's perfect that you can just throw in mods whenever you want. I don't know about Power World. We haven't played Power World, and I don't think Power World is anywhere in our scope. No offense to people that want to see us play Power World.
It's probably not going to happen.
Sorry, Moses. But yeah, so I mean, the more I kind of sit there and see all these indie studios making really good games, I don't know if we consider Red Barrel an indie studio, but I mean, they're currently in works on Outlast Trials. They were already decently popular for their Outlast series. They've only really worked on Outlast games, so but Alice Trials just released 1.0. If anyone has not played that, I 100% recommend it. We may actually go back to that. That may be a new episode coming out, because from what I've seen, it looks like they have a new trial, but not a new villain. Again, Mother Goose. Oh my
God. Well, I didn't realize that they just came out with the actual like full game yet. Something happened.
All your stats are wiped.
Okay, interesting.
That's annoying, but at the same time, I think a great game if anybody hasn't played it. I think these indie studios are just shoving the middle finger at big studios because it's just great. They know what they're doing. They're making great profit from it. I mean, for example, the newer game, the secret game that I'm not going to talk about, like they didn't realize they'd be making this many players. They have over they got over 500,000 players at one time when the developer or the CEO at the time posted like the day before it came out, being like, "Oh, I bet this is gonna hit 50,000 players."
Blue.
Guess what? You have a really popular game. Now get rid of that anti-cheat, please. It's horrible. But yeah, so it's. I just think they're really kind of. Show it off, you know?
AAA games are just kind of, I wouldn't say that they're dying per se, but indie games are just taking, you know, every time a AAA game kind of starts to do something these days, it just, indie game is going to top them, you know, like Lethal Company, like PAL World, like Helldivers. It's just, you know, these indie games are just kind of taking over with half the price. Or even less so, because Lethal Company, I think, was, what, $10?
Yeah, $10 for Lethal Company. So
something that small that, like, I think, you know, a solid amount of people that I know personally have, like, I think over 100 hours at this point. Like, it's just, you play the game, like, you buy it, you play it a lot, you don't have this money, you know, you don't have to keep buying things to stay relevant in the game or to keep having fun with the game. You drop in the same moon over and over and over again, and it's a different experience. So that's why I think a lot of these indie games, it's just their replayability and the simple fact that they're cheaper, and that's why they're winning over at AAA studios right now, because more people are concerned about the money, especially since the price of AAA games kind of increased and the DLCs have just kept coming out and coming out and coming out. So
Diablo 4 has horse armor that's cost way more than these indie games.
Yeah.
All right. I want to keep that in mind. It's just...
It's outrageous, honestly.
It's just stupid. It's just so stupid. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of indie developers who I think that more people should be looking at. Just a heads up, if anybody wants any recommendations, any game by New Blood Interactive. They're an indie studio. I don't know who it's run by specifically. I know that they have games like Dusk. Everyone likes Dusk. Yeah. they got Faith. Everyone likes Faith. They got Gloomwood. Ultra Kill. Like, those are some really good titles that a lot of people don't know and that they need to know. Like, they need to know them right now because it's a great game. All of them are great, Alex. None of them are multiplayer. I would have brought that to the table already, but none of them are multiplayer.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
I don't think they're multiplayer, at least. Maybe they are. No, I don't think they're multiplayer. But yeah, so I like, there's some like really big games out that I'm like, that I think more indie, I think more light needs to be shed on the indie scene. And that may be a little weird to say, because obviously with the indie scene, it's kind of already has a light shining on it, but I think it needs more of a light.
Fair. Yeah. I think, as of right now, just we've obviously established this, but as of right now, AAA games are just failing to keep up with indie studios. And I think, I think, I don't know where else I was going with that. Mostly that was it. That AAA.
Do you think that they'll eventually catch up with indie studios?
I think so. I think at some point, to some degree, like at least a few of the AAA games are going to catch on, or a few of the AAA developers are going to catch on and start making the games that people like enjoy and love. And I don't know if that's going to be this year. It'll probably be at least a few years, but yeah, I think at some point AAA games will be back as like the top of the top, the best games and a reason to spend $60 or $70. Whereas right now, that's just not the case.
I mean, I could see bigger studios kind of evolving into that, but I think in the long run, I don't think they'll bring their games down by price. I think that's the best way to put it.
I don't think they'll bring their games down by price, but I think to some degree, some of the AAA studios, and probably at least a few years, will catch on and we'll see some more games like Baldur's Gate, like Hogwarts Legacy, that blow people out of the water, and it will be worth $60-$70. Whereas right now, just most games, I don't think they're worth it. I mean, okay, I say that. I bought Call of Duty. I don't regret it. I have a solid amount of hours in it, and I'm probably going to buy the next Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Shame him.
But I think most people that buy Call of Duty every year, are just playing less and playing indie games more. I think that's not just Call of Duty. That's really, I think, all triple games in general. And that's kind of the topic that we're talking about here, that indie's taking over AAA titles and stuff like that. They're just winning. But I do think at some point that AAA games, maybe Activision, Microsoft, like I think they will to some degree catch on and release the products that are actually worth the price. I don't think they'll bring the price down. Maybe they'll bring it back down to 60, but probably more like $70, but it'll be worth it at some point eventually.
I think that they're not going to do that. I think what they're going to probably do is instead just kind of make, a great example of this and something I'll think like to, something kind of to think about is that think of how these big studios reacted to the boom of Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. And how they basically made cheap copy and pastes of Battle Royale games just to make a quick buck and whatnot. These companies are still making money.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to stop because they're making money.
Yeah, no, I'm not really sure exactly what's happening with, like, specifically we mentioned Call of Duty a lot, but as of right now, their player base may be dropping, and at some point that'll probably hurt them, but as of right now, they're still making an outrageous amount of money off of people buying the game and people buying stuff inside the game, so I don't see them seeing themselves as failing, not yet, currently, but I think there's a lot of other AAA studios that may.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is I think people need to speak with their wallets and stop supporting these bigger games and start supporting indie titles, because if you want to support, if you love a game and you want to support it, go support indie devs, because they work a lot harder than anybody else in the market, basically.
Yeah, and the devs, you can tell how much they care for a lot of these indie games, like the games we've been talking about, the ones that have been succeeding. They clearly have some level of, care that they put behind this game. Like, they want it to succeed. You can feel that. They genuinely enjoy writing these games, whereas, Activision, it's more about, we obviously keep coming back to Activision. It's just one of the biggest names. They just keep churning out product over and over and over again, but they are still making money. So I don't see them making too much of a change currently because of how much money they're still making off of what they're doing.
I think Activision is a great example of just a company, just company greed. I think that's just a good example. Yeah. That's why it keeps getting brought up, because it's one of the biggest gaming studios when it comes to yearly releases. I think the concept of yearly releases is a little bit difficult to comprehend at times, because it just comes out every single year, and people, I don't understand why people buy it, because it's just the same thing every year. I don't like sports, so I don't follow a lot of those kind of games. I do, however, like racing and F1. Mm-hmm. And guess what studio got bought up?
Yeah.
So there's F1 games coming out yearly now. Mm-hmm. And they just announced F1 24. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to buy it.
That's fair. Yeah. I think one of the things that games like EA and Activision do is they cut off support at some level for the newer games, or for the older games. Sorry. So you know, I don't think you ever played Madden, particularly Madden Ultimate Team, but that's like one of the biggest reasons I used to buy the current Madden, because I would play Madden Ultimate Team. I designed my team. I'd have my favorite quarterback, have my running back, etc., and then I'd play real people. But if you go a couple years back and you can't do that because nobody's online, nobody's playing, or they shut down the servers altogether. And I think that's how these companies keep pushing you to buy the latest game, is they cut down support. They don't bring out new stuff. So if you want to play with somebody that was drafted in the 2024 draft, you have to buy the 2024 game. And that's why, that's why games like this keep going. Cause even Activision, you know, they used to cut down servers for Call of Duty, but now I think they've kind of been reopening them, which is kind of a cool thing. So if you want, we can go back to Black Ops 2 and replay Black Ops 2 and stuff like that, which we'll probably do at some point. So that's actually coming for you. We'll probably play some Extinction. That actually could be a good. Never mind. I have a new game for this weekend. It's not Sons of the Forest. It's
we could do like a Blast from the Past type thing, where we just go through a bunch of old Call of Duties.
I actually don't hate that idea.
If we
can find them for cheap.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, because they were Call of Duty game. Now
60. Yeah.
By the time I'm recording this, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be the week of the 11th. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It comes out on the 14th. This is your heads up now, people. Guess what comes out on the 14th?
We were looking at stuff. What comes out?
Steam's Winter Sale. Oh, not Winter Sale. Steam's Spring Sale.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Big sale this season is coming up. So, the Call of Duty could be on sale.
I'll keep my eye on that.
Yeah, we did. They did come out with... they did come out with a lot in terms of... I think Call of Duty has put more effort into putting their games on sale, which may sound a little weird, but I think that they're actually putting in somewhat of an effort, so I can't really complain. I mean,
me too.
I was kind of looking up to see if I could find anything like on sale for Call of Duty. I'm looking at my favorite site of all time, istthereanydeal.com, and from the looks of it, Call of Duty doesn't really sell their stuff on much of other platforms, which is a little annoying.
Yeah.
It's only on Steam.
Yeah,
well, I figure... Call of Duty 2 is for $12 right now on Gamersgate.
I think during the spring sale, I think there's a good chance we might be able to cop like Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Ghosts. Some of the old games are like $15, $20. Okay, I don't own PC, so I probably need to buy it, but that's fine.
Now,
do that.
If we made money from this podcast, we could just use that money to put into...
eventually, maybe.
Man, we just trash talk AAA studios like crazy, but now we're about to spend all this money to buy it.
See, it's a circle. It's a circle. It doesn't end. It never ends.
Please help. Somebody help us. We have fallen into AAA Studios' grasps. Please, somebody save us.
We've strayed so far from the light.
Please help. I was trying to find, as we're sitting here, I was trying to look and see if I could find a bundle on Steam.
Yeah, I was thinking about
that. Had, no, like that. Look at on a bundle on Steam. I thought they had some kind of... Okay, so I just found it. Call of Duty franchise. The bundle, it costs $836.
Jesus Christ.
And that comes with...
I'll give you my credit card. No, I'm kidding.
40 items. It comes with 40 items.
It's probably all the DLCs, too, from old
games. It has a lot of DLCs.
Yeah.
A lot of DLCs. Black Ops is just DLC after DLC. There's just a bunch of DLCs and season passes for other... Okay, hold on. Can I, like, remove stuff from this? Because I don't want to buy the season pass for Infinite Warfare. I don't think you can, like, remove stuff from the bundle. That'd be nice, though, but I guess not. But yeah, so, I mean, I think in all, the older AAA stuff, I can get behind.
Yeah, that's fair.
But in the long run, I think that they really just have to take a step back, look to see what people are doing, put down their prices on games. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. I just think that we're really missing out on some heavy hitters in the indie studio or indie area, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think particularly for Call of Duty, and you kind of mentioned that, or to some degree you mentioned this when you know, kind of talked about how they put out one game every year. Now that's what Activision does a lot of. I think if they were to take a step back and actually have one game, like specifically by Treyarch, because Treyarch's the best, but one game that specifically you develop for a long period of time. They take 2 years without releasing Call of Duty. I think honestly that could be a pretty good way for them to jump back. But in reality, I think they'd lose. They would lose too much money from that, so they probably won't do that for a very long time until they start failing. But I think that would help them.
Here's what I think they should do.
Okay.
Let's go with EA. Let's take EA as an example.
All right.
Let's say EA makes a game. They make FIFA 2024.
Okay.
Cut out the name 2024. Keep FIFA. Just name it FIFA. That's it. Just FIFA. And instead of having a new game every year, just have a new DLC every year that, yeah, one, updates. Upgrades the game visually, and two, allows for you to play with that pool of players. Or
that's a whatever, great idea.
Or roster. And it'll just keep that happen, going. No. I know, but I'm saying Call of Duty basically does that already.
Yeah.
But just have it as one platform. And then what you can do is make this very simple. Have a one-time payment to get into the FIFA game, and then you pay for whatever DLC you want. And that doesn't have to be a $70 DLC. You pay $30 to get into the game and play an extra $15 for this year or whatever. Now, I can't really say that because Activision is a lot bigger than the guy who made Lethal Company by himself in the basement. There's a lot of people that need to get paid. So that's another reason why their games are so expensive. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of these studios are overhiring, and people complain about them firing people. At the same time, they are overhiring way too much.
Yeah.
So firings will happen. It'll keep happening. The tech area is very big when it comes to hiring a crap ton of people that don't fit into specific job markets.
And then cutting them loose.
And then cutting them loose later. Yeah.
Yep.
A great example of that is Twitter. Twitter, they fired a crap ton of people, and Twitter still runs perfectly fine. A lot of what they had was unneeded. Yep. So I can understand why these studios are that high up and have to get a big price tag onto all their games, but it's not working out. It's working out for them somewhat, but they're going to slowly start realizing that these smaller games are doing a lot better for themselves, and maybe we'll have to do more cuts, which is going to happen. We've already seen it multiple times with Sony, Xbox, all these big major players in the industry. It's sad, and I hope they all find other jobs and whatnot, but it's just what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I think on that note, we will be going to break. And when we come back, it's time for some host trials.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you all real soon. Bye-bye. All right.
See y'all.
And we're back for another wonderful episode of Host Trials. Alex, can you explain to us what Host Trials is for the viewers at home that don't know what we're talking about?
Sure, I might have done this a few times already, but I'll explain it.
We're going to explain it every single episode, just in case somebody joins the podcast that we don't know of or don't know what's going on. I don't know how you got here, but if you're here, welcome.
Welcome.
Continue.
All right. So essentially, Host Trials is normally at least one of us is going to bring a video game forward that the other hasn't played. Sometimes we'll have guests and they'll bring videos on their own that we haven't played or played only a little bit. But most of the time, it's just going to be the two of us. Anyway, yeah, that's basically it. We bring a video or bring a game forward, and then we talk about it a little bit. Then we kind of go into a little break, play the video game, come back and do the final section of Host Trials where we rate it and talk about how the game went.
Yeah, pretty much. And on this lovely episode, it is finally time. We've talked about it for one episode now, but it is finally time. We are going to be playing the game that everyone loves so much, apparently, Helldivers 2. That's it. That's the whole bit. Good night. Helldivers 2, if those who don't know, if you I would assume that the people that don't know Helldivers 2 is a little bit older, so the best way to put it is Helldivers 2 is literally a game version of Star Troopers, the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what year that movie came out in, but it is the same kind of design where it's fighting bugs, but you're also fighting automation as well, going down to the planet, doing missions, and then coming back up. Has the same kind of satirical comedy as Star Troopers, where it's very fascist and very we're going to fight for democracy. We're going to kill these bugs. I'm from, what's it called? I'm from Buenos Aires, and I say kill them all. That's a line from Star Troopers.
Okay. I've never seen the movie, so.
I haven't either. I just know the lines because I've been playing this game for like 2 weeks straight now, and I hear people yelling them all the time, so.
Got it.
But yeah, so it's not, it's not too crazy of a concept for a game. I mean, mm-hmm. Halo could have done that. And apparently, from what I've heard, it's kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I just let bring this up. Mm-hmm. Heard to the grapevine was that a X-343 employee brought up a game idea similar to this a couple years ago, but was shot down by Halo executives. So this could have been a Halo game.
Yeah.
This concept could have been a Halo game. But no, we don't like that. They don't care about their content anymore. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, what have you heard from Helldivers? Not from me. Let's take it from not from me stuff, because I've been talking about it a lot with you.
Yeah, you've been talking about it a lot lately. I don't actually think I'd know this game if it weren't for you. I don't think I'd have heard of it.
That's weird. I'm not gonna because, lie. Dude, it's all over the place. Like, it's,
yeah, well, I don't yeah, no, I haven't seen it like on YouTube or, I mean, outside of like basically the stuff you sent me, I don't think I've seen it on YouTube or anything like that. So I really basically know nothing about this game outside of the stuff you've told me, which I guess at this point is a solid amount, just overall, like how the game works.
Yeah, I can't really get over, I can't go through Twitter without finding a bunch of content on it and whatnot. Have you, what have you heard from me?
All right. I'll start there. Yeah, sure. Like you kind of just mentioned, you know, you start out in space. And you've got like all these different planets that you can go and like land on and then fight for control from the bugs, I guess. And I guess you mentioned Ottoman.
Robots, they shoot back at you.
Oh, okay. Fun. Who owns the robots then?
That's a lot, and I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know lore.
Okay. All right. I've heard from you that it kind of plays similar to COD Ghost Extinction, which is basically like my favorite zombies map or my favorite zombies
so
mode
many people,
from Call of Duty.
So many people are going to hate that.
Yeah. Is it actually close or are you just kind of saying that because of bugs?
We'll let you decide.
Okay. Sounds good.
The way that we record this is that we also have an audience member in the audience while we record. So I'll have her remind us when we're done with this.
Sometimes I forget.
Yeah, anything else, really?
No, I mean, like, I guess there's some, like, in-game transaction stuff, and you can, like, gain points from playing the game, or gain, like, credits or whatever from playing the game, buy new skins, buy new guns, maybe. Yeah, and everything that I've seen, I guess, from, like, images, which is probably, like, I don't think I've seen YouTube videos, but I've seen some images. It's basically, like, very futuristic and looks similar to Halo, but more, maybe kind of like a mix between Call of Duty weaponry and Halo, like, skins and stuff, maybe.
Well, here's the thing. I was going to get into that a little bit later, but now's a good time to get into it. I think everybody is kind of in agreement on Helldivers 2 when it comes to live service games. They think this is a perfect example of how a live service game should work. Mm-hmm. You don't need to put any money into it once you're done. You can buy a DLC, which will add like a newer battle pass. This free battle pass that we have is an actual free battle pass. It's not the crappy little crap that you put in between stuff, and then you're like, oh, you can only get it every certain amount, and it's like really cheap stuff, and you won't get enough money to buy an actual battle pass. No, this is an actual free battle pass. And you can buy a separate battle pass on top of that, which I'll show you when we get the game, which is not bad. I bought it, so I've been using it a bit. But anyways, the other thing is, you don't have to buy the premium credits at all. There's a store that refreshes every day, but you don't have to buy any kind of premium credits, because those premium credits you can find in-game, which is great, honestly, because you don't have to put any money into it at all. It's amazing. If you want. But I also recommend putting some money into it, because I recommend supporting the developers, because these guys are awesome.
Yeah.
They're showing off to a lot of live service games that already exist and showing them, like, hey, this is what we're doing. But, yeah, I mean, they're like, hey, look at this. This is what we're doing. And we're getting crap ton of viewership and crap ton of gameplay. Like, maybe you all should, I don't know, stop being money pigs and, you know, do something else. I don't know. Though this game has come out with a bit of controversy. A lot of it has to do with the servers. It's not server capacity, but it's the way that they coded their servers that makes it so this huge amount of people can't join.
Interesting.
It came down to just people AFKing and whatnot. They weren't expecting this many people. There's about 500,000 people at one time. It's not on Xbox yet. It's only on PlayStation and PC. But yeah, they did a recent update, which opened it up to about 700,000 players now. They're terrified for the weekend because they're about to see if it works or not.
I guess we're about to see too.
Yeah. So apparently the CEO posted about 4 hours ago from when we're recording this, saying that they made it through their first Friday without server load issues. So,
yay.
It may be fixed now. The capacity's at 700,000. So we'll see. Okay.
That's pretty high, especially... what was the... I think you mentioned that the first game only got, like, 11,000 was peak or something like that? The Helldivers 7,000. 7,000, yeah. And then this game just jumped up to, like, 500,000.
Yeah.
It's causing problems.
Yeah, wow. So it's... That's crazy. Yeah, we've hit 500,000 now, and they were not prepared for it at all, and it's lovely, you know. some other smaller things they now added the kick timer and some other stuff to maybe dwindle down the AFK players, which is great. But one of the things I thought that you would find really interesting about the game before I go into a little bit more depth on it is that Arrowhead's CEO confirms that Helldivers 2 was built on a dead engine. It is a dead engine that they're building this game on.
So, like, they're just saying, like, the engine... Is it the same engine that they use for Helldivers 1?
The engine is... this is noted by the CEO himself. The title was created using Autodesk's Stingray engine, which was officially discontinued back in 2018.
Yeah, that is a dead engine.
So they've been working on Helldivers 2 for obviously longer, probably way longer than 2018.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the original game came out in 2015. So, but it looks like they ceased support for Stingray, was also known as the Cut Fit Squid, and made it unavailable for purchase. Though they still decided to go with building it on this dead engine, which probably put a lot of toll on the developers.
Probably, but yeah. Makes some things more complicated.
But that is insanely crazy, and it would not surprise me if the company that made Stingray, Autodesk, came back with Stingray. Because,
yeah, no, because of how well this game will, how well this game has gone so far. Yeah, that would make sense.
That's amazing. It looks like the CEO stated, "This is true. Our crazy engineers had to do everything with no support to build the game, to partly with other engines." That's a weird way to put that. To parody other engines.
Parody. Okay.
Oh my god, I can't talk.
No, you're good. I mean, I guess it depends on how much they had done at the point that Stingray went, stopped being supported. Because if they had like half the game done, then I mean, it might make sense that they wouldn't really want to try to port that over to another game engine and just build it from there. Because it's not like they can't build it. It's just that like, you know, the support's gone, so it makes things a lot more complicated if they run into issues. But past running into issues, if you have more than half of the game done, then yeah, I guess it would make sense to finish it.
So from the looks of it, basing this off of the original Helldivers game. Mm-hmm. The last Helldivers update was from 2021, but before that, the last update was 2018. So I'm going to say that around 2018, they decided to work on Helldivers 2 and put all their time into Helldivers 2.
Yeah, then that makes a little less sense to me then, Stingray went, unsupported in 2018, you said, right?
Yeah.
At what point did they announce that they were going to be unsupporting it?
I don't have a specific date
stop
for that.
Portion. Okay. I guess that I was a little confused as to why they'd do that then. Unless Helldivers 2 or Helldivers 1 was probably built on Stingray 2, right?
That's what I'm going to assume. I'm not too sure. Yeah.
So maybe they just really, really wanted to make sure they didn't lose the progress they had from Helldivers 1. Or like they really wanted to recreate the formula as best they could. But I don't know. It's kind of crazy to basically start on the game on the same engine, even knowing that engine is going to be unsupported. Because they probably got a notice like at least a few months before the support stops, probably. So
yeah, that's what I'd be guessing as well. But kind of running through some smaller, quicker things. Due to those server issues, the rating on Steam went down a little bit, but now it's back up to mostly positive, which is really good.
That's good.
About 74% positive rating. Okay. And looking at the reviews, let's pull over some of the reviews here while my phone goes off. That's Zach Eubanks.
Yeah.
Some quick, simple ones. I'm doing my part. People say the server issues don't exist. Instead of investing in a heater, fight automations on max graphics settings, your PC will heat up. Oh, yeah. That reminds me. This game, environment-wise, is beautiful. Which surprises me even more when they say it's on a dead engine. It is such a beautiful game. I just can't get over how beautiful it is. And oh my god, you drop like nukes and stuff and the explosion in the background while you're running through like a forest or something is just...
It's good.
Top notch. Top notch.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to be cutting to the gameplay now. If you want to see that gameplay, Alex, where can they find it?
Bitsandcaffeine.com, but also YouTube.
You can't find the video on bitsandcaffeine.com.
Well, yeah, you can. Just click the YouTube icon.
that's all you gotta do. That.
Well, I didn't want to say Bits and Caffeine at YouTube.com because that's not even how that's set up. That's a lie. Yeah.
Or you could check us out on all of our other social medias where we totally post the videos on. Maybe you should follow them. That'd be really cool. Wink, wink. No. Find it on our YouTube channel. And with that, we're going to be going and spreading democracy.
Okay.
See you soon.
And welcome back to Bits and Caffeine.
I was going to wait to see how long.
So we just we played some Helldivers. It's been a little bit, as it kind of always is for us. So so now we're going to talk a little bit about it.
I had about 20 hours onto however many hours we had by the end of the session. So yes, it's been a little bit now.
Yeah. No, we've we played some. We played like honestly like 3 sessions, which is not normal for us, but largely because I had some GPU issues, which we will get to in a little bit, because that's probably the most interesting turn of development with this whole Helldivers experience. But the game itself was fun. Yeah,
I think, other than the GPU experience, which, I mean, we could just get into now because that was something that was brought up originally. Yeah. But, I can't really blame the game for that, mm-hmm. So.
And I don't either. But I also, at the same time, I don't blame AMD. So, yeah, I'll take it back a second. We started playing. I personally have an AMD 7000 series GPU. It's a very good GPU. I've never had any issues with it. Outside of like ones that were just user, like me particularly being, words I won't say on this podcast. But one thing with Helldivers 2, is that it actually has issues with 7000 series GPUs, specifically mine, which is a 7900 XTX. It has a lot of issues with all of the 7000 series, but that one specifically, that card specifically. AMD's already released some things to help make the issues better, but the issues themselves are pretty terrible, and there's just nothing you can do.
I would like to add to that that there was a patch added in between our second and third playthrough session, and we tried it and attempted to see if it would play. It didn't really work out too well.
I'm not really mad at Helldivers, or I'm not mad at the developers or anything, because they didn't expect anywhere near as many people to be playing as they did, and they were a little bit more concerned with the. They were working at the time that this issue was found. They were working on the issue they had with their servers, I think, because they were just getting way too many people and they needed to be able to handle way more people and stuff like that. So that was a bigger issue that affected more people. But I'm sure they're probably working on it now and will eventually release something that'll fix the issue. But the issue wasn't just the game crashing. The issue would cause it to crash my game, OBS. And basically half the apps I had open outside of that, it would crash all of those. Both of my monitors would go black for like 10, 15 seconds. I'd get them back, and then sometimes I'd still have issues with the monitors. Like I could only see like a small bar across the screen. Even after I restarted my computer, sometimes there were still issues. This isn't just your typical like run-of-the-mill, the game crashes every once in a while. The game crashed my entire PC. Over and over and over again. There were times I loaded up the game and I couldn't even get it. Like I couldn't get past the loading screen before it crashed everything. But thankfully, thankfully we were able to do it since I had a handy backup NVIDIA GPU, 2080. It's not a bad GPU at all. It's still a pretty good GPU, but it's definitely nowhere near as good as the current one that I have. But yeah, I was able to play Helldivers with that one. So. That was an interesting experience, I'll say, because I spent 3 hours, probably at least 3 hours, trying to workshop the problem and make sure I didn't need to buy a new GPU because I thought my GPU was failing. That's kind of how that went down. Only to eventually spend those 3 hours to then come back and eventually figure out that there had been a news article about it for a couple weeks that my GPU had issues with the game. But apparently I didn't see that, even though I Googled for like a while. So anyway, that's pretty much what happened with my GPU. Don't blame the game.
It was an absolute roller coaster of emotions.
It was.
I don't think those are recorded, but yeah, so there's, mm-hmm. It was good fun. We had, kind of going off that topic a little bit. We had about, how many? 3 people. Other than us play with us on rotation, we had Rosie Lou Lee, we had Blue Dolphin 135, and we had everyone's favorite character from last episode, Josh, who is still held at gunpoint.
He is in fact not free yet.
He has in fact not been free yet. He has not done enough episodes.
Yeah, we've got him for a little bit longer.
But yeah, so, I mean, okay, other than the GPU issues, what was your initial thoughts on the game?
Oh, it was good. It looked beautiful. Because even on the GPU before it crashed everything, it still looked beautiful. So it was good. It ran pretty smoothly. Overall, it was a very fun experience. And I think a very, from what I got at least, it was very replayable, which is something I just don't, you know, I just don't see with a lot of games these days. And I think that's one of the reasons indie games are winning. It's just their replayability is kind of off the charts. I also want to point out one thing. Do you notice any specific like relation with another game that we played a while back? I'm gonna describe this game in a certain way, and you tell me which game we're talking.
Call of Duty Ghosts.
No.
Worth a shot.
No, it was worth a shot because I do love Extinction.
Left 4 Dead.
Kind of see it. No. Well, no. Stop guessing. All right. Okay. So you have four.
Dead by Daylight.
Stop. So you have four players, okay? And they're
ready on or not.
Spaceship. Just keep going, yeah, aren't you?
Among Us.
We never played Among Us.
Starfield.
How are you missing the one? No.
I don't even know what we're doing here. Some. Lethal Company.
Yes, Lethal Company. I was going to go through like this whole thing of describing both of the games. And then I was just going to be like, to put their similarities together. But anyway. Both Lethal, I saw a similar amount of Lethal, comparison between Lethal Company and Helldivers. Of course, they're very different. Like, one's, you know, guns, aliens that, like, bugs and stuff like that. But for, overall, you start off as four people that go down in a spaceship to a moon or a planet or whatever to go into a environment in which you are fighting, you know, aliens or whatever, you know, you're fighting. You got some mic issues there. Anyway,
my mic fall off the thing.
You're going into this environment where you're basically like you're fighting against time and your enemies that are like, you know, randomly generated monsters. Of course, for Helldivers, it's basically just bugs or automatons.
Speaking of randomly generated, this is more in relation for the people that follow Helldivers, but in a recent update to Helldivers, you can now deal with environmental issues now. Like, for example, a fire tornado can randomly come in on planets. That's great to know. That's terrifying, but they keep updating their game to the point where I am absolutely in love with them because, oh my god, I have never seen people update games so much like this.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I think where I was kind of going, just like I see a lot of similarities between the two because you start off with four people, you go down in an environment with you four are working against time and the environment around you, like quicksand, stuff like that, but also mostly like the enemies, so like, you know, the giant spider in Lethal Company, the eyeless dog, stuff like that. And then the major goal is to get back in time so that you can extract. And of course, I think that's not like only relates to those two games, but I think it does specifically, it feels like it's a formula that's working for indie games right now, at least in my eyes. So that's something I wanted to point out.
Yeah, I mean, as you can tell, we all kind of enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you guys want to check it out, Bits and Caffeine on YouTube, bitsandcaffeine.com.
Maybe.
I mean, we have a website, but yeah. Go check it out. I mean, on top of that, I mean, I just enjoy the game. It's just so much fun. I love these kind of four-player games where it's just survive. And just indie games. Maybe more games, indie games, please.
Yeah.
AAA games suck. Give me more indie games.
Yeah, indie games are really beating AAA games into the ground right now. It seems like no AAA game can really get traction. In the last like really couple of years, outside of a few specific games, like I think there was the Harry Potter one and the D&D one. I forget what the name was, but that
Baldur's Gate,
yeah, because I know it was like D&D. Anyway, those two did really well last year, but past that, I can't really think of any AAA games that really did that well last year.
If you all want a Baldur's Gate episode, let us know because I'm pretty sure it's multiplayer. Just a heads up.
That's an option. Yeah,
that is an option. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed. I don't have much to say because
You love
games. I love it. It's great. It's a perfect example of just like people that actually care about their game and people that actually put episodes in. Oh my gosh. It's like episodic, though. The whole thing is going to be episodic. They have one guy basically controlling it all, and it's just, it's just perfect. I love it. It's great. But I've edited our script a little bit.
Okay.
I edited our script. So from now on, we'll be ending host trials in a very simplistic setup. Okay.
Okay.
It's simple, 5 stars. Okay.
5 stars, but not 10.
We're doing 5 stars. We're going up to 5. Okay. Because I feel like what we're doing with 10 is sticking on 7.
I don't think we stuck on 7 the last couple episodes.
We went down a little bit and went up a little bit. But so.
Yeah.
So, a you know, 5-star review.
I'm kidding.
How much would you rate Helldivers 2 out of 5 stars and why?
I think it's definitely a great game. And if I played it more, I probably would rate it a little bit higher. But I'm probably going to go with an 8, which is definitely higher than most of the games that I've, a four out of five.
Great, we've enacted this new rule set, and now we're going to 8. That's perfect. Thank you for listening, Alex. I mean, you're really listening to me.
I forgot. I had a number in mind. It was 8, so 8 out of 10, so now 4 out of 5, okay?
Yeah.
So I think, if I played it more and I, like, really got into it, I definitely think there's enough replayability to enjoy it more, but I think it's an 8 because a 4 out of 5, not because it's bad, like not because I disliked it over than other games, but if I were to like choose one game over the other one, I would probably I think I rated Dead by Daylight 9 out of 10. So 4.5 out of 5. I think I would still probably choose Dead by Daylight over Helldivers if it was like I had to choose one or the other. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, for all those Helldivers lovers out there, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 because I don't care. Because it is genuinely a game that it looks like that the people that made it actually care about. Mm-hmm. So
that's a very, very nice thing that you don't really see with a lot of games that are released recently.
Also, they've added in Titanfall stuff, which is pretty cool. They have APCs now, which is also really cool. They have vehicles other than APCs now, which is actually really pretty cool. It's great. Check it out. Buy Helldivers. Join the revolution. Save democracy. I actually just slammed my table and opened something. Hold on.
I didn't hear that, actually. That's interesting.
Great. Perfect. All right. Save democracy. And with that, Bits and Caffeine, we are out of here. All right.
Are you okay over there? I can't hear you anymore. What did you do? you disconnected your mic. We have some technical difficulties. We will be back very soon. Hopefully. He is trying to talk right now, and there is nothing coming through. He's saying bye-bye. Goodbye, everybody. Possibly. He's just waving. He's still trying to talk. All right, everybody. It's me for the outro today. I think you can hear me. Anyway, Sky has lost his mic, so this is the last you'll hear of Sky until the next episode. We enjoy that you've been here with us. We hope that you guys will come back for later episodes. And goodbye. We'll see y'all next time.